Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. Hey gang, welcome back to the Bill Caskey Podcast. Glad to have you here. Today we're going to talk about pros and cons. We're going to talk about how to look at the world and how not to look at the world. And this is all part of my High Achiever program that we're in the middle of launching. We've got a couple going on right now. If you are the least bit interested, if you're a high achiever, someone who earns 150,000 or quid, as my European English friends say, not European English friends, 150,000 to 200,000 quid, then make sure you go to BillCaskey.com, and I'd like to have you on one. So I got an email the other day from someone who is starting in this High Achiever Mentoring Program. And they said, can you give me kind of the what to do and what not to do? In other words, how to think and how not to think when it comes to high achievement. And when I talk about high achievement, I talk about scaling up your business. Because for a high achiever who already works a lot of hours, it's unlikely that you have an extra 10 hours a week to go prospect or to go do other things that are going to level up your income. So chances are you're already working hard. You don't need to work any harder. You might have to work differently. And so I've come up with a list of 20 things here. I'm only going to do 5 today because I don't want to overwhelm you, which I have a tendency to do. Don't want to do that here. But these 5, these are kind of amateur pro kinds of things. Or here's what not to do, and here's what traditionally we do, and here's what I think you should do if you really want to scale your business. So let's go through 5 of these, and I think you'll find them interesting and maybe useful. And I do not have a handout for today, but we're actually going to be doing a webinar on all 20 of these things. So here's number 1. The traditional salesperson and achiever is all into hacks and techniques. All into what kind of font do I use for my email? When should I send my blast emails out, which I hate that term? What should I say when the prospect says this? How do I make sure that they don't shop around with somebody else? It's all very hacky and techniquey. And I'm all for techniques. I think there's value in having good language, but I don't consider good language technique. I consider technique as you ask a question in a negative way to create a response that you want. That's techniquey. And so I think the traditional sales trainer or coach really spends a lot of time on that. My perspective is that we should be thinking about strategy. What is the strategy that we're going to use to generate inbound leads? What are we going to offer to our audience so that they will give us their email address or they will reach out to us and say, hey, I loved your webinar, John. I want you to come in and talk to my team. Strategy is so much more important than hacks and techniques. And yet, I don't find a lot of sales organizations really teaching strategy. I find that it's all about hacks and techniques, and what do I need to say to get the customer to buy, and what do I need to say to get past the assistant and the secretary and the screener and all that kind of stuff. And I think the right strategy eats hacks and techniques for lunch. How about that? And maybe even dinner. Number 2, the traditional trainer will teach massive behavior, massive action. I've even heard Tony Robbins talk about this and Gary Vaynerchuk, and just massive action. And I think massive action wears you out. I would rather you take an approach of using the right and strategic behavior. And strategic doesn't necessarily mean long-range 10-year stuff. It means let's do something. Here's an example. If you do a YouTube video, let's say a LinkedIn video, and let's say it's a 2 or 3 minute video where you talk about here's some of the problems that people have, and here's a couple of thoughts that I had. It's valuable for prospects and for your audience. A strategic way to do that, a massive behavior way to do that is you say, well, I'm going to do one a day for the next 30 days and see what happens. A better way to do it is to say, I'm going to do one a week, and then I'm going to take that video, I'm going to break it up into little clips, I might even get it transcribed, I might even write an article about it, put it on LinkedIn, create a graphic around it so that people can see that I have written something of value. I might want to rip the audio out and use it on maybe I might want to rip the audio out and use it as a podcast. If you don't have a podcast, there's other ways to use audio. You can put it on Instagram. You can put it on Twitter. You can convert it into a video and put it on LinkedIn. But again, you've already got the video. So think about quotes that you might have said during that little 5-minute video and pull those out. Go to canva.com. Create a little template and put quotes out there, just quotes that you have said. Now you start to build your expertise, your thought leadership. But that's the difference between massive behavior, do a video every day, and strategic behavior. Let's do one video and let's find different ways to promote it. Number three, the traditional trainer teaches people and the traditional salesperson teaches people always be closing. A, B, C. I say, never be closing. Never close. Now, I don't mean don't get a decision. I just mean that this whole closing thing, it feels like it's seen its best day. It just feels like a better way to do it for me. And if you're in this program or working with me in any way, here's what I would teach you. I would say, get really good at understanding the problem the customer brings to you. Could be the problem that they are seeking to solve. Could be a problem they don't know they have, but you've helped them see that they've got other problems. Could be a problem that they want to avoid in the future. Could be some kind of a dream they have or a goal that you can help them get to. But be clear about what is the thing that's driving them to change. Then get really good at communicating your solution. And at the end of that, tell them or ask them if they would like to proceed with you or not. Now you might say, well, that sounds kind of weak and wimpy. Well, remember, I said you've got to get good at finding the problem. You've got to get really good at communicating your offer, what I would call your offer or your value, what it looks like to work with you. And that way you're never closing. You're not trying to get them to do anything. You're just saying, look, here's my offer. Here's what I can do. What do you think? Yay, nay, go, no go. That's the ideal. Number four, it seems like the traditional seller always has an intention to sell something. They always have in their mind that they're going to pitch or convince or sell or get someone to do something. I used to get this a lot until people stopped asking me because I would abuse them when they asked me, how do you get somebody to buy? How do you get somebody to make a decision? How do you get somebody to call you back? How do you get somebody? No, you can't get somebody to do that. You can influence that as best you can. You can take the right actions. You can have the right mindset and maybe the right language. But at some point, your intention has to be to solve something, not to sell something. When someone comes to me and either is interested in one of our programs or is a corporate account, and maybe it's a VP of sales and they want me to come in and help them with their team for 60, 90 days, I'm always interested in helping them solve the problem. If part of that means that I don't work with them and they maybe don't need training or coaching, maybe they need something totally different. Maybe they need organizational help or maybe they need digital marketing help, which we do a little bit of, but we don't do brand work and things like that. Maybe they need something very different. But my intention is always to solve something. The bigger it is, the better. I'm not trying to create a bigger problem than what is real. I'm trying to understand the problem as it exists and how big it is. So the old way, intention to sell something. The new way, intention to solve something. Here's number five. The traditional old style salesperson, and by the way, I know some of you probably buy into this, and I hope I'm not insinuating that you're needing fixing or you're broken, but this has come over years and years of having sales trainers show up in our lives through books and through other things, and we have kind of defaulted into this, and that is a persuasion orientation, is the orientation that we have to persuade somebody. I think a better way to do that is an orientation of curiosity. I want to be curious about what the customer wants, what they're struggling with, what their circumstances are, what they're trying to do with their life. And I'm calling on VPs of sales, CEO, individual sales performers, achievers. I want to know, what's your vision? What do you think is possible in your world after, you know, the next 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years? So I'm very curious. Now, sometimes I even miss that. Sometimes I launch into the offer too early. And that's one of my many character flaws, defects. But I think it's a lot better if you lose the persuasion orientation and adopt a curiosity orientation. A, you're a whole lot more fun to be around. You don't always feel like you're pitching and presenting and people, if people run when they see you coming at you, probably you're too persuasive. You're trying too hard. That would be funny. So curiosity is kills the cat. No, curiosity is a much better orientation. So quick review, perspective and strategy. Number two, the strategic behavior. Instead of doing just a bunch of stuff, think through it a little bit. How can I take this and repurpose it? Number three, never be closing. Find better ways to do it. Get good at finding the problem. Get good at explaining your offer, communicating that. Number four, the intention to solve something. And number five, have a curiosity orientation. Once again, you can go to BillCaskey.com. I'd love to see you there. See you next time.